Good morning. Your announcements on the back of your bulletin. Please donate to the Stew Pot. Feeds the homeless, and there's a very nice display put up by Georgia out there. But that is for your donation over and above what you give to the church. And you will notice today that we have the Prédu up front, the kneeler. It is for confirmation, and it is in your bulletin. We will be confirming April this morning, so it is a joyous day for that. That will be done after the sermon, after the hymn of the day, and then we will do confirmation, which is an affirmation of her baptismal vows made by her parents for her. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? If not, stand if you are able. Let us begin our service doing confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who creates us, forms us, redeems us, calls us, who unites us and sends us. Amen. Gathered in God's presence, let us confess our sin. Mighty and loving God, we confess that we are captive to sin. Hear the voice of Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim release to the captives. In the name of Jesus Christ, I proclaim to you that your sins are forgiven. You are released. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are yours forever.
Jesus,
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you. We praise you for your glory, Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and love,
that we may obtain what you promise.
Make us love
what you command, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Our first lesson for this fourth Sunday after Epiphany is from the book of Jeremiah. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, 'Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am only a boy. For you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord.' Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, 'Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant.' The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will now intone the psalm as printed in your bulletin.
In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be put to
shame.
In your righteousness, deliver me and set me free. Incline your ear to me and save me.
Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. You are my crag and my stronghold.
Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the clutches of the evildoer and the oppressor.
For you are my hope, O Lord God, my confidence since I was young.
I have been sustained by you ever since I was born. From my mother's womb you have been my strength. My praise shall be always of you.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in the wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
Our gospel is found in Luke Chapter 4, beginning with verse 31. He went down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. They were astounded at his teaching because he spoke with authority. In the synagogue, there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Let us alone. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent. Come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down before them, he came out of him without having done him any harm. And they were all amazed and kept saying to one another, "What kind of utterance is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and out they come." And a report about him began to reach every place in the region. After leaving the synagogue, he entered Simon's house. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him about her. Then he stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she got up and began to serve them. As the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various kinds of diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on each of them and cured them. Demons also came out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God!" But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Messiah. At daybreak, he departed, went into a deserted place. Crowds were looking for him, and when they reached him, they wanted to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So I continued proclaiming the gospel, the message in the synagogues of Judea, the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Well, our gospel tells of healings in the city north of Nazareth called Capernaum, and illness is both a personal and a social reality. If you don't think it's a social reality, look at the state of Washington and the measles epidemic, which has become a social reality because of some personal decisions of its people. Last week, our gospel told of Jesus speaking in the Nazareth synagogue. And today we find him further north in this place that was a home against home, Capernaum, and he'd already done miracles then. And Capernaum was known for a very large non-Jewish population. And that's where Jesus chose to live. Jesus is teaching again, but Luke focuses on the style of what he says. The people are astonished at his teaching because he spoke with authority. He did not speak of the way it's always been, the traditions of the elders, as the Pharisees did. He left that behind. The reference to the man with the unclean spirit who appears in this synagogue indicates that this particular group of believers in God, the Capernaum Jewish synagogue, welcomed all people, even the ones that were disabled. The possessed man in this Capernaum synagogue had multiple demons, for they shouted, "Let us alone." These demons are on the attack. They know who Jesus is, and they said, "What have you to do with us?" Called him by name, Jesus the Nazarene. Interesting enough, if you read John, the second chapter, those are the same words that Jesus used when he was kind of talking back to his mother when she told him they don't have enough wine here. Well, what's it to you and me? Same words. Jesus knew that the demons knew his identity, but the people did not. At this time in Jesus' life, only supernatural beings knew Jesus' divinity. He silenced the demons. He commands them to depart. They don't harm the victim, and they comply. Jesus had earlier rejected Satan's offer of authority, if you remember the temptations in the wilderness shortly after his own baptism. Now again, he's going to reject Satan's minions, and the exorcism prompts people to marvel. And this news of his authority spread all over the northern part of Palestine. What the congregation in Nazareth had sought from him as their hometown kid, and he refused to provide for them because he did not consider them worthy, he's now freely giving it in this synagogue in Capernaum. Yet Luke doesn't put much emphasis on the exorcism. Luke's focus is primarily on Jesus' teaching and on Jesus' faithfulness to God, not particularly on his working of miracles or any exorcisms. Jesus had already defeated Satan at the temptations, and what occurred in Capernaum was just a mopping up operation of some more of the demons. Yet the people didn't know this. Now, I would like to shift our attention to kind of the middle of the gospel there, because after the Shabbat worship service in the Capernaum synagogue, it was time for the family to gather and enjoy a shared meal. So Jesus goes with Simon, and when he gets there, he rebukes the fever that's in Simon's mother-in-law, same word used to rebuke those demons. And now we're told of her discipleship. She rises, she serves. And the woman used for that, the name used for that woman is one of a deacon. That's where you get the name of the deacon. She functioned as a deacon. She was a disciple in action, not just in word. And today, we celebrate another young woman growing in grace, April Elaine Stieg, who is to be confirmed into discipleship among all of us, the people of Good Shepherd. And for several years, every Wednesday night, faithfully, she studied scripture. And the Lutheran lens of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she did this in order to affirm and strengthen the baptismal promises her parents made for her. She studied the Bible with Pastor Carol and with me. And a little interesting twist, or at least for me, is since she attends a private parochial school of a different denomination, she would often come in and say, "We're being told this in Bible class, but I don't think we as Lutherans think that way." So we would go into the scripture and into theology. We spent more time in theology, I think, than I've ever spent in a confirmation class. But we used the five key principles that if you have a Lutheran study Bible, that's the Bible that April and I have, and that's the ones we worked out of, and they are in there. Just a little review. The first one's law and gospel. The word of God speaks both law and gospel. The law accuses us, judges us. The gospel comforts us, saves us. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament have law and gospel. It's not law over here and gospel over here. Uh-uh. They're in both. And they must be held together for God's word to be fulfilled. And the Bible shows, number two, shows us forth Jesus Christ. And that is the whole Bible we're using, not just the Gospels. And you'll notice the verse that she chose it's in the back of them. Would you hand me mine there? No, I need my thing right there. Thank you. It's in the back of your bulletin is the verse that April chose, and it is from the Old Testament. So we don't just use the gospel. And number three, we looked at how scripture interprets scripture. You have to, though, actually know the themes of the Bible, which means you actually have to study and read scripture. Coming in on a Sunday morning and get what they have in the bulletin isn't going to cut it, okay? To understand the theme. So we did a lot, and Pastor Carol did a lot with her on that. And when we have Bible study, it's not simply a matter of let's get together and talk about our opinions on the passage, because you don't get any depth that way. So April and I talked a lot on the theologies of the cross versus the theologies of glory that we hear a lot in this area. In the theology of the cross, it reveals something very profound. It has a suffering component about God's love for us and also God's expectation from us, okay? How we are to love and treat others, how we are to serve others. Jesus calls us to deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow him. And also in this piece is the one that Lutherans love to often say, justification. I often hear it, justification through faith. Stop. No, actually, it's justification by grace, God's grace, through faith, your faith, and it doesn't stop there. It's for the sake of Jesus Christ. That's what all this is about. Justification by grace through faith for the sake of Jesus Christ. And the last thing we talked about was the public interpretation of Scripture. Lutherans believe that reading Scripture is a public, not just a private. You don't just read the Bible for yourself. You read it to understand how you can do as that woman did, rise up and serve the community. So we're to apply our lives to be in harmony with the Scriptures. And that understanding meaningful for all people in our group. You have April's statement of faith. This will change. It is what it is right now. But as she grows, it will change. But it is a starting place that she put quite a bit of time in. And when you read it, have time to read it, you will notice her spiritual core coming through. It is shining through. She has a spirit of praise. She has a spirit of gentleness and of thankfulness. But she also has a very strong need for Christian experiences. They bring her closer to God. They allow her to feel God's leading in her own responses, much as Simon's mother-in-law did, to her openness to God. And her statement also shows that she has a concern and a service for others. Now, 3 weeks ago, she and I went to Christ Lutheran over by SMU. Got there a little early, and so she had a one-on-one little visit with Bishop Eric Gronberg. And then Pastor, the Bishop Associate, had been here, Pastor Chris Totsky, and she had run over there to get her display up, and she spent one-on-one time with April talking and showing her where all the churches are in our synod in northern Texas, northern Louisiana. We have one in Clovis, New Mexico. We have some in Louisiana. And talking about these, where they were. And then Pastor Cheryl Walenta Garvey came, and she is head of the candidacy committee. And so she was talking about ways for our young people to serve. They don't have to go into the clergy, but if they wanted to, here's how you do it. It could be lay ministry. And then we went over and talked some hunger with Pastor Deb McCann, the hunger issues in Dallas. And we are responding this morning with Stew Pop. And then ended up with Pastor Doris Dupree Harris, all females, right? See where the action is? Sorry, guys. But Pastor Doris Dupree is our African-American pastor in Oak Cliff. And she's also on the Social Justice Synod Committee. And they had a table full of little slips of paper of different issues that are in this area. And they were asking each confirmand to just take a look at that and make a decision what issue they thought their congregation personally need to sit down and talk about both sides of the issue. Because in each congregation, I don't care what the issue is, we're going to have two sides of it. Okay? And the issue that, and then these issues were taken to social justice group. They go and visit with the legislatures in Austin. They're a very active group. And the issue that she chose for this church to be open and discuss on both sides is immigration. And that was set. April has chosen her confirmation verse, Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. That's what God has promised to you. Now, April, I'd like to challenge you with another verse from the Old Testament. It's in a book just called The Messenger. The name Micah is not a name, messenger. But this is your response back to God for when God promises and fulfills for your life. And Messenger says, what is required of you, O mortal, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly before your God. And I'll give this to you when you come to the Prayer. And April, I'd like to leave you one more thought to ponder, like Mary pondered. I always got one more thought, don't I? And I'm going to say it twice. It was the last line of Mary Oliver's, one of her poems. And it's simply, tell me, what do you plan to do with your one wild but oh so precious life? Tell me, what do you plan to do with your one wild but oh so precious life? Can you give that to her when we get up there? I better stand up, huh?
United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. We pray for the church. Inspire us by your Spirit as we respond to your call. When we are reluctant, strengthen us. When we are doubtful, encourage us. Above all, let your love shine through us, Lord, in your mercy. For the earth. For mountains and prairies, cities and farms, rainforests and deserts, awaken us to the mystery and diversity of your creation. Nurture all living things and protect your creation from harm. Lord, in your mercy, for the nations, kindle with us in a spirit of respect for one another. Protect those fleeing their homes to escape danger or oppression. Bring peace to communities torn apart by warfare and violence. Lord, in your mercy, for those in need, protect those who suffer abuse and encourage those who lack hope. Guide all who provide medical care. Comfort those who grieve and bring healing to the sick. We pray especially for those we name before you now. Lord, in your mercy, for this assembly, Bless our children and our elders. Gather us into a community guided by your love. Inspire in us a spirit of hospitality and kindness. Teach us to bear one another's burdens with compassion. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks for those who have gone before us in faith and who now see you face to face. Inspire us by their example and bring us into your everlasting presence. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Not you. Is it easier for you to be right here until it's time to kneel? Okay, we'll do that. Dear friends, we give thanks for the gift of baptism. And for this person, one with us in the body of Christ who is making public affirmation of her baptism, I present April Elaine Stieg, who desires to make public affirmation of her baptism. Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for this sister whom you have made your own by water and the word in baptism. You have called her to yourself, enlightened her with the gifts of your Spirit, and nourished her in the community of faith. Uphold your servant in the gifts and promises of baptism, and unite the hearts of all whom you have brought to new birth. We ask this in the name of Christ. I ask you, April, to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that deny God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? Let us all join. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
April, you have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the world?
I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
People of God, do you promise to support this sister and pray for her in her life in Christ?
We do, and we ask God to help and guide us.
Okay. You comfortable? Good enough, huh? Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God. Through water and Holy Spirit, you give us new birth, cleanse us from sin, and raise us to eternal life. Dear God, we thank you for this day. as we come together to worship you and celebrate confirmation. May you help April continue to worship and praise you along her entire life's journey. Amen.
Amen.
Peace of the Lord be with you. Stand. Face the cross. Let us rejoice with this sister in Christ. We rejoice with you in the life of baptism. Peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's share the peace and congratulate April. April, we have a couple things for you.
your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of the water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join in that unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, he gave thanks, and he gave it to all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people. For the forgiveness of sins, do this for remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Remembering therefore his salutary command, his life-giving passion and death, his glorious resurrection and ascension, and the promise of his coming again, we give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace, and receiving the forgiveness of sin, may be formed to live as your holy people and be given our inheritance with all your saints. To you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory in your holy church, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father,
in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in eternal life.
Let us pray. We thank you, O God, that you have fed us at your banqueting table with bread and wine beyond compare, the very life of Christ for us. Send your Spirit with us now that we may set the captive free, use your gifts to build up one another, and in everything reflect your glory revealed in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
God of glory, dwell in you richly. Name you beloved. Shine brightly on your path. And the blessings of the Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you. Amen. Here, Artie.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.